Proverbs 18, verses 9 through 13. It's only five verses, but so many things covered here that we need help with as a family. We need reminding of. Proverbs 18, verses 9 through 13. How should we listen to these words?
Carefully.
Why?
Because they're God's words.
Proverbs 18, beginning in verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. So the one who is slothful in his work, what does slothful mean?
Lazy.
Lazy and slow. That's right. Both of those. I heard both of those. One who is not working hard, not working carefully, not doing it as unto the Lord. Just working because they were being made to work, not really trying to get the job done, not caring about it. That person is brother to whom?
Just a great destroyer.
Great destroyer. This comes from realizing that your work comes in God's providence and that your work is for the good of others. So both with respect to the first four commandments, which, what do the first four commandments teach us, Ezekiel? Our duty. No, that's the last six commandments. The first four commandments teach us what, Ezekiel? Yes, Victoria.
Our duty to God.
Our duty to God. So whether it's our duty to God, and we are given the work by God, and is to be done as an act of worship unto Him, or whether we are realizing that one of the things that the Lord assigns us work, and gives us the different work and the different roles in our lives for, is to do good to others. And so in our duty to our fellow men, we're working for others. If we are given work to do that is for God and for others, and then we do it lazily and slothfully, then what we are doing is harming them. They are not receiving either the honor in God's case or the benefit in man's case for which the work is assigned. It belongs to the same category of sin as if we had gone and destroyed something that existed for the glory of God, something that existed for the good of another. We like to think of our sin as, oh, that's not that big a deal. I'm just dragging my feet and grumpily, lazily doing my schoolwork or my chores because I don't feel like doing them, and I'm just going to get distracted by everything and stare around and think about everything except my schoolwork. And it's not that big a sin. It's not like I'm going around tearing things up and breaking things that belong to other people. And oh, wait a minute. If God says it's like that, and I was telling myself it's not like I'm doing that, who's right?
God.
God is. And so this helps us see how great a sin laziness really is. Isn't it interesting how the sins that we commit, we like to pretend they're not a big deal, but the sins that we think we're better at avoiding and other people commit, we think those are the really bad sins, those things that other people do. Not so. He who is slothful in his work is brother to him who is a great destroyer. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. A righteous person is not someone who is confident in himself. He's someone who's confident in whom? Confident in the Lord. Our hope is in Him. Someone who is confident in themselves has not begun to be righteous yet. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. Uh-oh. Now it can be true that the Lord provides for us and uses money at one time or another in His provision for us as part of His taking care of us. But one of the temptations for someone who is rich or someone who wants to be rich is to think, You know, this money, that's what makes me safe. It's my strong, it's like a high wall. Lots of terrible stuff can happen, just like floods could come, or just like an army could come. But here, even if all that terrible stuff happens, all those other people who don't have money like I do, they'll be in trouble. But I won't be in trouble, because I have my money. It's like a high wall. Remember the... That person has money eyes. Money is his idol. That's right, because he's trusting in it instead of the Lord. Remember the other proverb. What does wealth do? What do riches do? Sprouts wings and flies away. Careful not to put your trust in wealth. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. What does haughty mean? It means very proud, looking down upon others. And what does God do in his providence to the proud man? Pride comes before a... God opposes the...
Proud.
Right. Oh, be careful. Let another man praise you and not his own, not your own lips, says the other psalm. But that's not even the end of it, because that's our lips. What does this say? Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Let us learn to keep the condition of our hearts. You know, what ought to be something that helps us. I was going to say, what will help us is coming before God. How can a man be proud before God? And yet then I remembered the Lord's teaching on the Pharisee. Lord, thank you that I am not like other men, or even this tax collector over here. He's even using words of thanksgiving to God to express the haughtiness of his heart. Let us be careful before the Lord. Let us use his word to remind us of how weak we are and how wicked we are, so that we can come to him in dependence, depending on him and seeking forgiveness and grace and strength. Let us keep before the Lord a humble heart. Last half of verse 12. Before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Of course, the one who is humble realizes that it's an honor to worship and an honor to serve. It may be true that God will lift you up before the eyes of others, but it is definitely true that God is doing according to all that is best for us for Jesus' sake. And who wants a higher honor than that? What could you want more than that? To know that the Lord is treating you according to what Jesus deserves for you. Okay. Finally, verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. What does that mean? Means don't interrupt. Don't decide what you're going to say in response to someone before you've heard everything they have to say. Don't jump to conclusions. Be slow to speak. Yes, Beatrice.
So it's like one person.
Yes, it's just like that. Do you see what I did? Okay, I didn't let you finish what you were saying. I decided that I knew what you were going to say and what the right answer was going to be before I heard you out. That is a folly and a shame to me. Right? Don't interrupt. Okay, now you can finish what you were saying for real, honey. Go ahead. So it's like when one person is talking.
And like the other person thinks that they know what
you're saying. Yep. It's like that. And you know, it actually harms your ability to hear if you're spending your brain while someone else is talking. If you're spending your brain coming up with what you want to say in response, You know, there's a temptation to do that. We all want to sound very quick on our feet. We want to have our response ready like that, right? But we're not listening as well if we do that. We should spend our brain power trying to understand the person who's talking, observing them, seeing and hearing more than just the words they're saying, but how it's affecting them. They're communicating to us much more than just the words that they're saying. So hear someone out. Let's not be a family that interrupts. In fact, let's be a family that speaks as little as possible. Doesn't just come up with a million things to say. And it's even okay if we're all silent sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why people are so, there are so many of us, so many people of us, I don't mean just of our family, are so uncomfortable with silence. It's okay to be silent. Just means nobody's saying anything foolish. I don't mind that. But let us, especially when another person is talking, give them the respect and the honor of hearing them out before we begin to answer. Because if we start to answer right away, we may think that we're showing how smart we are. But we're really just showing that we are fools and shameful. So, even if you happen to be a shameful fool, you can hide it by not saying anything. The Proverbs actually teaches that elsewhere too. Let's pray. Father, help us to work diligently, realizing that our work is for your glory and for others' good. And not to rob you of that honor or rob them of that benefit. We know, Lord, how bad and wrong it is to be a destroyer. Help us to remember that your word teaches us that being lazy and about our work is the same thing, same category of sin. We pray, O Lord, that you would keep us from being proud, that you wouldn't even allow us to be proud in our hearts. Rather, that you would make us confident in you, yourself, not in us, ourselves. So that you would be our strong tower, and we would run to you and rest in you. That we would be those righteous ones whose hope is in you alone. Lord, we pray that you would give us a right view of wealth, as something that is useful in your service, and that when you give it to us is a blessing, a gift. To be used well, and that it can be something that you use to protect us. But, oh Lord, help us to remember always that it is you who protect us. It is you who are our safety and our security. Help us to trust in you. And, Lord, in this matter of listening well to others, help us to honor others. Help us to respect them and love them and hear them out. Grant that we would not be a family who are quick to speak, but who are quick to listen. And slow to speak. Grant that we would not be those who start to give an answer before we've heard the whole matter. Make us to be those who seek more information and don't assume that we know everything. And protect us, we pray, from the foolishness of jumping to conclusions. Lord, we think also in this regard what happens when we hear one side of a case, as later in this chapter discusses. The first one to plead his case sounds right. Help us, Lord, not to jump to conclusions there either, but to remember that there is more to hear, and that there is another side. You know, Lord, how prone to rash decisions and foolish living and pride and laziness we are, and that's why you've answered and given instruction about all of these things in your word. Truly, O Lord, you are good, and your word is good. And we thank you that Christ is our righteousness, and we desire to bring honor to our Redeemer by becoming more and more like him. So we thank you for giving us his wisdom in these chapters of Proverbs. Help us, Lord, to live according to this wisdom. We ask it in Jesus' name, and your children hear say, Amen.